Well, good morning, church. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We have two more talks in our series that's taken us, I think, 17 talks are in the total, and so next week's the last one. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount and looking at each of the little phrases and little talks that Jesus has. And today we're going to be talking about how do you know who is a deceptive person? And there's a passage that Jesus talks about wolves and sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. So that's the passage today. How many of you would like to put your hands in the hand of someone that you really don't know if they're qualified? No hands up. Mark, can you put me on the screen, please? Or Sue back there? And Mark, can you put the lights down just a little bit? When I see these pictures, it's like, I don't know if I want to hire that guy to do some front-end loading stuff for me. What about this guy here? Does he actually have a license to drive? Does he know what he's supposed to be doing? And who loaded this truck? Have they thought about that kind of stuff? I don't know if you can see this one well, but it's a container ship, and most of the boxcars, the containers on that ship have fallen sideways. And so that wasn't really good. The people who were doing that didn't know what they were doing. This guy just ran into wet cement, and you can see some footsteps leading away. This guy was doing some sort of crane stuff and just tipped right over. Not too good. Another cargo ship with cars on it, and you can see the guy sitting on the pier phoning his boss and telling him, I don't know if I loaded these correctly. Can you imagine that phone call? And I don't know why this airplane is right there, but that doesn't seem to be the best airplane to get on. So anyways, so we're talking about, I'm at the very front. Let me get to the back. Here we are. Let's read the scripture together. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus says this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. All the way through, we're going to be seeing that Jesus is comparing two paths, two groups of people, two different ways that you tell who's going through the gates and that kind of stuff. So it's all about choices that people make. And basically, the choice is those who are following after God and those who are not following after God. Verse 15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So there's quite a few interesting things in here, and Jesus is really talking about two large groups of people, and he says there's two gates that people begin their journey on. There's choices that people make and two paths that people go, and it's a wide gate and a wide path. It's a narrow gate and a narrow path. And the wide gate, he says, a whole bunch of people go through that. Did you know that when you were born, this is where you started? Every single person in this room started with this journey that we were walking with a whole bunch of other people. We're walking down a pathway and we don't realize it, but it is away from God. And those who had that understanding at some point, the Holy Spirit spoke into you and he began to talk to you about your Father in heaven and how wonderful he is. And the Spirit of God began to reveal to you how much Jesus loved you and that he died on the cross for your sins. And when all of that sort of made sense, that what Jesus said is I need to surrender my life to him and give my life to him. When you made that choice, you switched paths. And you went from the wide gate and the wide path to the narrow gate and the narrow path. How many of you made that switch? Okay, that's most of us in this room. I didn't look to see if everyone's hands go up. If you didn't put your hand up or you're not sure, we're going to get to you later. There's two destinies, and Jesus says one road leads to destruction, one goes to life. Anyone want to go the destructive route? Well, see, the issue is nobody would ever want to go the destructive route, but the Bible also tells us that there is an enemy for every single human being in this world, and his name is Satan. And his role is to deceive. His role is to trick. And so the wide gate and the wide path are made to be, this is the best way to do it. This is the coolest way. This is the most responsible way. This is whatever, whatever, whatever. And if you're a follower of Jesus, well, you're narrow-minded. Well, guess where that word narrow comes from? Actually, from Jesus. But it's not narrow-minded. Actually, it's truth-minded. It's the wisdom. Because we actually happen to know where that path is leading. Then Jesus moves on and he talks about two different kind of prophets. And he talks about false prophets and true prophets. Now guess which prophets are going down the wide path? The false prophets. So you're going to see my logic here, and I think you're going to see what Jesus is teaching, because I got a little bit of a surprise for you at the end when we get there. But those who are going down the wide road, what they say and their opinions are not correct. They may be saying a whole bunch of things that are right in a whole bunch of areas, but the truth that's behind what they believe is actually going to a destructive way, a destructive path. And so when you listen to the philosophers of our world, they have all sorts of good stuff, but at the core of it, you're going to miss eternity if you go down that path. And so Jesus is talking about, he uses the word prophets, I'm going to use deceptive people. There are lots and lots of voices that come into our heads that try to get us to believe the philosophies of our nation, of humanism, of media, of different groups, smaller groups. And Jesus is saying, the way that you figure out what kind of prophet they are is by looking at their fruit, looking at their character, and looking at what they do. And so we'll talk about that in just a moment. The true prophets, Jesus says, likewise, every good tree brings good fruit, but a bad tree brings bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And the destinies still are the same path. Remember the first path, the wide path, is destruction. The narrow path is life. And Jesus talks a little bit more about the destiny. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's a little bit more descriptive of what that pathway is, that destructive pathway. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. And then he goes on and he has a couple warnings, and he talks about the fruit now. He talks about the bad fruit specifically. How do you know a deceptive person? How do you know a person who is trying to get you to follow after them, to get you off course, all of those different kind of things? And Jesus is for the most part going back to the fruit issue. And then he talks about, in this passage now, he gets to get into the spirit realm of things. And he says, the false prophets who are going down the wrong pathway, they started out wrong and they continue to go wrong. Those people in that area, some of them can do signs and wonders. Some of them can prophesy. Did you know that? Did you know that other people other than followers of Jesus can do miracles? It's in the Bible. Do you remember when Moses, he is commanded by God to go back and rescue his people, and he goes back into Pharaoh, and every miracle that he did with his rod, he had that shepherd's staff. He throws it down, it becomes a snake. Well, all the other guys, all Pharaoh's guys who are on all sorts of different beliefs and cults and all different kind of faith groups, they all have their stick, they throw it down, snakes. Yes? Now, it just happened that Moses' snake ate up the other snakes, meaning he's the true one. That's how you'd figure out which is the best snake, is which one wins. And so the measure of a good fruit person is not, can they prophesy? It's not, can they do signs and wonders? And friends, this is also one of the warnings that I would say to you for when you're Because some of you are going to be a part of TACF for the rest of your life. Some of you are here for another 3 months, and God's going to move you. Some of you are here for 2 years. God's going to move you. How many of you were not in this church 5 years ago? Hands up. Okay. Every 6-7 years, churches in cities change. People move. They get transferred. They buy a house in a different area, and churches change over. When you're looking for another church, don't just look. Can they prophesy? Can they do signs and wonders? That's not what you're looking for. That's not the only thing that you're looking for. Jesus would be saying you need to be looking long-term at the fruit. Look at character, look at those kind of things. And sadly, even in of those who are born again followers of Jesus, going down the right path, many of those folks, without realizing it, begin to deceive people and begin to move them sideways. And so there's a lot of different things. We don't have time this morning to talk about all that kind of stuff. But here's the warning for those who are false prophets, who don't have a relationship with Jesus. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the key right here. What we're seeing in here is the problem is not doing the signs and wonders and stuff. The problem is sin, and the problem is no relationship. Remember when we began to talk about the two pathways and the two gates? When you made a choice to follow Jesus and become a follower of Jesus, do you think Jesus knows who you are? Yes. Knows your name. So when Jesus is talking to these people, he's saying, listen, if you've been following people who've never made that switch, never invited me into their life, never embraced me, and yet they can still do the same things that followers can do, when they get to heaven and say, yeah, but if we thought that was the criteria, and he goes, no, that's not the criteria. The criteria is your sin. The core issue in your life that will separate me from you. And it's relationship. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. And so it's just a wonderful invitation for everybody in this room to recognize that apart from God, the core of who you are is not nice. And the Bible uses the word sin. And sin's not a politically correct word. I understand that. The problem with the word sin is the middle word. Not middle word. Middle letter. I. Me. That's the problem. Like, how many of you, my mother's here this morning, and I can remember being grilled all the time, every time we had a meal, every time I'm asking for something, my mother would, I would say, pass the potatoes. Please, pass the potatoes, please. Any of you had to be taught how to say please and thank you? How many of you knew instinctively to say please and thank you? Sandra put her hand up. That may not... Dad, is that right? Did you have to teach her? Your dad's saying yes, he had to teach you. How many of you had your parents teach you how to lie? There's one lady put her hand up. You put your hand up? Yes, no? That was mom's right beside him. He's just trying to get it back with his mom. His mom's going, no, I didn't do that. How many of you were taught to cheat? Were any of you had some classes by your parents when you're 3 and 4 of how to go into a grocery store, how to go into a 7-Eleven and steal a candy bar? So why do you know those things? Why do you know those things and you don't know the good? It's because of sin. And Jesus is saying the core root that needs to be dealt with in every single one of us is these things that we do, we say, we think that separate us from God. And the Bible's very clear that if you keep going down the path that you're going, which Jesus calls a wide path and a wide gate, you're going to be led astray by people thinking all these different kind of things. But the truth is that the end of that path is destruction and is fire. And in other places, Jesus calls that hell. It's eternally being separated from him. And the amazing good news is that when we come to an understanding that, well, if I've got this issue, how do I get rid of it? And throughout history, there's been lots of different things that people have believed that will help us get rid of the core issue in our heart, this sin that contaminates us. And by the way, the Bible says that even a smallest little sin, one little thing, it just messes everything up. It's like if I was to take an omelet and make an omelet from 12 eggs, and you've got 11 eggs in the can, not the can, in the bowl, and you break the last one in and it's black, it's just rotten. And as soon as it lands, do you still mix it all up and make an omelet? You can't. That egg is just splattered, and you can't separate egg from egg once it lands. It's together. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've come short of what God has for us, which is a wonderful relationship with Him. And the good news that Jesus is teaching is that you can have a relationship with me that just circumvents and goes right around there. It's a narrow path. Not everybody votes for this. Not everybody chooses this. But it's the path that leads to hope. It's the path that leads to eternal relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is again just trying to convince people, don't go down that big path. Don't go down that path where everyone says this is the coolest way. Do you know there's a website in the States I heard about yesterday on the news that's voted Canada the coolest city in North America? Toronto. Did I say Canada? Toronto is the coolest city in North America. Well, I think we knew that. John Arnott, our founding pastor, sent me an email this morning. I know he sent some of the other business guys in our church. And the BBC news, one of their news reporters, is written an article about the world wants to be Canadian. Just because of the G8, the G20, when all the leaders came here and just saw some of the positive things that our government has done in terms of business and, you know, different kinds of things, and just the stability of our nation. And it's like, they want to be like that. That's good. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, and it maybe doesn't look cool to everybody, but it's the best choice you can ever make. When I ask people to put your hand up earlier if you've made that choice to go from the wide path to the narrow path, there may have been a few of you this morning that weren't really sure what I was talking about. I hope you understand what I'm talking about right now. There is an opportunity that Jesus gives to every single person. Jesus is not narrow in his invitation. He's wide open in his invitation. And the most merciful gift that God gave was to send his only son, Jesus, to come and live on planet Earth and model what God was like and how wonderful God is and what his heart is, and for Jesus to actually pay a penalty that you and I deserve. And the Bible says that Jesus died on a cross. In fact, in history books, secular history books, that's recorded as being true, as an event that happened in world history. And Jesus died not because he deserved it, but because you and I did. And the invitation is that you can open your heart and say, Jesus, I understand all that. I'm choosing to be your follower today. I'm choosing to follow after your teaching, which is a little narrower. It's not as big, and anyone can do what they want. There's all these different ways to God. No, there's not different ways to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. Why would Jesus say such a narrow-minded thing? Because it's true. And the bigger group are thinking, oh, there's lots of different ways. But if they're wrong, and Jesus says they're wrong, God says they're wrong, the most wonderful thing that Jesus could do is say, no, 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 no. It's not any way. There's one way. And here's how you get there. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to have two or three different ministry things this morning. If you're in this room and you're not sure that you're on that narrow path, you're not sure that the sin part of you that is naturally there from when you were born, you didn't have to do anything to get sin, it just was there. And you proved it by having to be taught how to say please and thank you. You proved it to yourself by lying without being taught to lie, and cheating without having anyone teach you. It was just in you. Yes? And everyone has to make a choice. And the opportunity is here for everyone this morning who's not yet given their life to Jesus. I'm going to do a couple things. We're going to have people come to the front for a couple different things this morning. And the first group that I'm going to have come to the front are those of you that would need to switch paths and start going down through a different pathway, a different gate. And that gate leads to Jesus. That gate is Jesus. He is the way that takes you to the Father. And so I'm going to say a prayer over all of you that I'd like all of you to repeat with me. This is a prayer to change paths and to embrace Jesus and have Jesus come into your life and get rid of all that sin so that now you have eternity in front of you. Would that be okay? So let's say this together. Jesus, I acknowledge that I've been going down a wrong path. I've been doing things my way. I've been the center of my universe. I'm recognizing that's wrong. That path leads to destruction. That's not what I want. I want a hope and I want a future. I want God in my life. And I'm choosing Jesus today. I'm giving him my life. And if what the Bible says is true, I want that truth. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I want a relationship. So when I get to heaven, he says, I know who you are. That's what I want. Now just quietly between you and God, say, God, I want to be known by you. When I get to eternity, and when that judgment comes, and there's a group of people that are being sent off to destruction, I do not want to be in that group. I want to be in that group that Jesus is there saying, oh, I know you. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed so much company together. I've enjoyed sending my spirit to be part of your life. I hope that's your choice this morning. If you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, never prayed a prayer like that before, can't remember praying a prayer to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you prayed that at some point and then you switched paths and you sort of went back into the big path again, and you need to jump back and give your life to Jesus, start over again, can I get you to put your hand up if that's you? Just wherever you are this morning, just put your hand up real high so I can see. People that are acknowledging that they need Jesus this morning. Where are you folks? Just wave like this so I can see. There's one hand over here. Who else is there? There should be 5, 10, 15 of you at least. Good. Can I get you to come to the front? You may be the only lady here. Did you have a friend with you this morning that brought you? Come, come. Is there anyone else? Come, come. Good. Anyone else that needs to come up to the front? Good. There's another lady here coming. Wonderful. Good. Anyone else? Gate still open. Let's stretch our hands towards these two ladies. Father, we bless these ladies. Ladies, you made the most wise decision you'd ever make. This is more important than which car you're going to buy, which kind of clothes you're going to purchase, who you're going to marry. This is more important than what country you move to. This is a life choice that you've made to give your life to Jesus. And ladies, we bless you right now. And we bless you to know that the Holy Spirit has come into your physical bodies, into your spirit. And God is with you, and he's made a reservation for you in heaven right here today. And that he knows who you are. He knows all about what's going on in your life, and his promise is to be with you, to help you. Church, you can sit down. So we want to do some ministry this morning. By the way, I don't think this passage is talking about losing your salvation. Sue, can you put me back up? I don't think this passage is talking about a person can lose their salvation. So if you've heard people say, you know, not everyone who gets to heaven and who's doing things, that's not what this is about. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about people who never were on that journey. They've gone through the wrong gate, the wrong path all their life. They're teaching the wrong things. They don't maybe realize they're being deceptive or being deceived, but they're down there. And some of them can even do things that followers of Jesus could do because demonic spirits, all whatever. Satan can copy almost everything that God does. Did you know that? That's what that story of Moses would teach us. It's a number of different times in the Bible we see those kind of things. And this passage is talking about those who had no relationship with Jesus. It's talking about those who still had their sin And so that's not what it's about. So can non-Christians do miracles? I say yes. Ministry time. Have you ever been hurt or damaged by a deceptive person? Have you had someone that you were so comfortable with that when they were teaching you, when they were helping you to grow as a follower of Jesus, that they were, you thought they had your best interest in heart, and it turned out they were there to use you, they took advantage of you, maybe financially, maybe sexually, maybe just messed your life up. Did those kind of things for you or to you? Can I get you folks to stand up right now, please? Because I know there's a number of you that would be in that situation. If you felt that people have, you went down a journey and found out that the person who was mentoring you and helping you was a deceptive person. Can I get you folks just to come on up to the front? Would that be all right? Just find a spot up at the front. And those of you that are cell leaders and on our ministry team, if you don't mind coming up and just matching up with some of these folks. Church, I'd like you to stand again while we pray for these folks. I want you to get in twos real quick. Those of you that are still in your seats, can I get you to get in twos? I'd like you to do two things this morning for the person right beside you. And prayer team, you just begin to cleanse these people who are at the front, if that's all right. Begin to take off shame, take off pain, take off hurt. And those of you in the front, I want to encourage you, if you've not forgiven this person, that would be a good start. Your heart's supposed to be soft and tender to God. And it could be that it was a pastor that hurt you. It could be that it was a spiritual parent in your life that hurt you. So you need to start by forgiving. For those in the seats, I'd like you to pray for two things. I'd like you to pray for a protection over you, over each other. That the philosophies, the ideas that seem to be right, but actually are going down that wrong pathway, that the mind, the will, the choices that you are making during your week, during your month, during your life, that you don't get deceived by those people. Would that be all right? So pray protection. And number two, pray for wisdom. Pray for the person's spirit, that when they hear things that they inwardly just know that they know that they know, this is right, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. Would that be okay? Pray for protection and pray for wisdom. In your twos, go ahead and start doing that right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? Let me pray for those of you at the front right now. Father, we're asking for all the effects of negative things that have taken place in people's lives, those that have been hurt, been damaged. People have used and abused you. And Daddy, we ask for cleansing right now. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and just separate you from the effects of words, of actions. Spirit of God, come. Father, I'm asking as well for any demonic spirits that have somehow attached to you, any demonic spirits that somehow still have barbs, they still have hooks in you. We just speak cleansing over all of you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes. Washing comes to you right now. Washing comes to you. Cleansing comes to you in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes, speaks hope into your spirit again. And those of you in the front, if you've judged this person, I want to encourage you to just say, Father, I repent for judging this person. Because that's not a good thing either. If you've made a vow, those of you in the front, and you've said something like, never again will I let someone get close to me, that's not a good vow. You need to repent of that. If you've made choices and say, I'm never going to let anyone ever teach me the Bible again, I'm never going to let anyone help me in my finances again, I'm never going to, whatever those things are, if you've made vows, part of our teaching that we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount is that that's a negative thing. Jesus said, let your yeses be yeses and your noes, noes. And Jesus said, anything more than that is of the devil. And you actually, the very thing you try to protect yourself from, you open a gate, you open a door. So Holy Spirit, come. We bless these men and women at the front. Cleansing to come to you. Hurt and pain lifts off of your spirit right now. Hurt and pain lifts off your body right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Those of you in your seats, let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, would you come? We're asking for great wisdom to come. And we bless that your Spirit in you just knows truth. Knows, you get the warning signals from the Holy Spirit. This person's a deceptive person. Not going to listen to them. I'll be kind, I'll be polite, I'll be cordial, but I'm not going to do what they say. I'm not going to go down the path that they're encouraging me to do. And Father, we speak protection of God over every person in this congregation. That all the wiles of the enemy, all the roaring that he does, it does not come near you. Spirit of God, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Let me say one more thing before we dismiss. Newcomers, if you checked off on your card, first time or second time, right at the door as you head out, Pastor Sam, who is helping to lead this morning, we have a book that's very apropos for today. This, our founding pastors, John and Carol Arnott, wrote this. It's called Grace and Forgiveness. And if you're a newcomer, first time, second time, you filled in the card, said first time or second time, you just help yourself to one of those. Church family, if you've been here more than twice, not a freebie. We actually have them in the bookstore for like $5. So if you're a newcomer, help yourself to taking one. If you're a regular, our bookstore is open in just a second. You can grab one of them there. There's all sorts of other wonderful things. Church family, bless you. May the Lord's face be with you. May he shine on you in everything that you do this week. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be in you, on you, all around you. May you know his favor. May you know the smile of your Father in heaven, his smile over you in your life. So, Father, would you be with us? May your Holy Spirit go with us this week. May we do signs and wonders in your name. May we prophesy in your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Mike and band, for amazing worship this morning. That was great. Next Sunday, we're doing the very last talk in this series. We're going to do a review of all of what we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks about building on a rock or building on sand. And the rock and the sand is his words, his truth. And so we're going to review all of those things. So if you've missed some of these in this series, next Sunday, you're going to be able to get them. Those of you that are watching on Catch the Fire TV, God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.